Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your love to us and all the way that you, all the things that you do for us and have done for us, Lord. And we thank you for the future, for what's coming. We know that you're soon going to return and we're grateful for that. We thank you for your scriptures that help us understand that. And so, we just pray that, we can be ready. We can be ready to help these people that are going to have questions before the time comes. So we thank you now, Father. We pray your Holy Spirit would guide us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So last Wednesday, Trent, what did you talk about?
Put him on the spot.
I think you talked about the sovereignty of God, right? And how that works out.
His plans will not be thwarted.
That's exactly right. So Trent.
Wait, are you sure about that?
Yes. So Trent kind of, when he was doing that, he kind of got me fired up about the thing that I've been thinking about for quite a while, because I had to go up to Atlanta and share about a dear brother that has passed on with the Lord that I knew for 46 years. God placed him in our life, you know. And so as I have been going over that, going over the things, I thought that maybe that would be a good thing to share tonight. The key verse for tonight is Proverbs 19:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And that verse has been, I've been going through over that in my mind a lot with just the daily actions that we get involved in. You know, we plan our way, and but God directs our steps. And if we pay attention, we can see that happening. And so anyway, I'd like to go back over a little of my past as an example of how God works in my life or has worked in my life. Okay. I don't know about your lives, but I do know about my life. Yes, sir.
What was the verse?
Yeah.
Proverbs 19:9. Oh, is it 9 or 6? Huh?
What is it?
Well, I think it's 19:9.
No, no.
False
no. Witness
will not go unpunished. Oh, that's not good. So I'm the false witness here, huh? Proverbs 19. Let's try 19:6. Is that better?
No. 16:9.
Try that.
I
can't believe it.
Yeah, there we are.
Is that better? Okay. Good. Okay. I have it in my notes wrong. So don't never trust your notes. And that was just a starter bullet. You know what I'm saying? So we're already in a bad place. But we don't have much time, and I want to cover a lot, but I know I'm not going to be able to cover much because it's going to take too long, right? Okay, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And as I was thinking about that for a long time, I've thought about it in the past, and you know when you go through things, there's certain things in your life where you really know that the Lord did that. You know, He directed my steps. You know. And there's a lot of places that I know where I actually was planning to do this. Like, for instance, when Pat and I wanted to go to Brazil, we tried our dead level best to do that for a year. But God didn't want us to do that, so He directed our steps. And our steps were to stay at headquarters. You know, so that was completely opposite of what I wanted to do. But yet, we have to be open to the Lord. And, you know, He just shut the door on that. So it's not a matter of being open. I could have gone somewhere else, you know, but I wasn't that foolish. You know, if God didn't shut that door and He was put it in my heart to go to Brazil, I'm going to stay the course. And it turned out that that's exactly what God wanted me to do, right? But the thing that I want to talk about tonight is not that part. I want to talk about the part before I was saved. You know, that's the thing that kind of really got home to me, that God was working in my life before I got saved. If y'all don't believe that, you can raise your hand. But I think it's true, right? It says in Luke chapter 19:10, where the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So He's seeking us, right? We know that in Romans it says, If I can find that little verse, did I put it in here? Isn't that wonderful? Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, and there's none that seeks after the Lord, right? So I don't seek after the Lord, but he's seeking after me. He was seeking after me. So after I got saved, I would be able to maybe look back and see his hand. During that time, I didn't have a clue that he was doing anything for me, you know, but, I guess I start back, and you guys know a lot of my testimony, I guess, but some maybe don't know it, but it's okay. We'll try to do a little bit anyway. But I look back and I look at my mother, you know, she was a woman of faith. I don't care if she was a Catholic or not, you know, and she gave me the faith that I have in God. She had a faith in God that was very strong. She raised 9 kids, right? She bore them and raised them and took them first and over and above her desires and wishes all of her life, all of her life. And she would always talk to us about God. Of course, it was in the Catholic vernacular, but a lot of stuff that we learned about God was true. He was a Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, and that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, even though that was negated by the works laws that they passed on to us. So we had, the gospel was blinded, similar to how it's blinded to the Jews, right? The Jews are blinded because the law blinds them, right? And so anyway, first thing was important to me is that as I began to learn, how come all my brothers aren't saved and I'm the only one that got saved? Well, it's because that my mother passed on her faith to me and I really believed in God, you know. I prayed to him. I prayed prayers out of a book. It doesn't matter, but I prayed out of my heart, you know what I mean? I needed words. So I prayed out of my heart. And when I was in the, 8th grade, we lived in Bartow, Florida, and my parents always put us in a Catholic school. So we drove 30 minutes to Lakeland to go to school every single morning. I was 14 years old, I had my driver's permit, and I drove the kids to school, with mom, of course, right? But what they did there, and I think they've done it, they do that in a lot of Catholic churches, before a class starts, you go to Mass. So for that whole year that I was in the 8th grade, I prayed to God that he would give me a good Catholic wife, right? And then when that year was up, we went back to Florida. We only stayed down there for a couple of years, and I never did that again, you know. But sure enough, in 1965, I met the wife that I prayed for, and it was Pat, right? And I didn't know, I didn't even remember. But God knew my heart and he was working for that. Who was Pat? Well, Pat was raised in a Baptist family and she was trying to become a Catholic because she didn't see the sincerity in the places that she had been. And she was best friends with the girl that I happened to be dating at the time. And so I met Pat. Story's got to get shortened down because we're running out of time. I met Pat and she was trying to become a Catholic. Well, the long short of the story is that she became a Catholic the day she married me. And, so I got my prayer, but God knew he wanted Pat in my life, right? Well, I knew that I wanted to marry her, but I didn't know God was arranging this, you know, but I do believe God arranged that because of who she is and because what I've drug her through all of her life, right? Right. When I got saved, there's just so much that happened at that time, you know, first of all, we ended up in DeLand, Florida. And another big thing in my life was right out of high school, I met a guy named Bill Tindall. He was not married. He was out of high school. I was out of high school. We went to work for Martin Marietta Corporation and we were working in the data processing department. And the long, short of that story is that he became a programmer. Then he taught me how to be a programmer. We went to the school system and we did programming. We ended up in the Volusia County school system, and we ended up buying 5 acres beside each other. We were like brothers. He was more of a brother to me than my brothers were, you know. So God put that man, he was saved, I wasn't. God put that man in my life, you know. I know he did, because he was the ultimate man that brought the man that spoke the words, you know, spoke the gospel. I needed to hear the gospel. But then when we got saved, it just so happened, right, that the man who led me to the Lord was running, leading a Bible study that was supporting New Tribes missionaries in Bolivia, right? I didn't plan for that. God was planning all of that, right? God was chasing me. God was seeking me. He was wooing me with his love, with his word, what I knew of his word. And then he was moving his people too. And, just so many things that God did before I was ever saved, right? The other thing that we did was in between working for the Orange County School Board and the Volusia County School Board, I was so disappointed in the Volusia County School Board because we were working 16 hours a day. Huh? Oh, Orange County. Yeah, the Orange County School Board. We were working 16 hours a day, had this superintendent, assistant superintendent, that he wanted to print the agenda for the school board on a computer. Well, that just had to be typed in and printed. That's all. It's so stupid. And we were trying to write programs. You couldn't buy programs. We had to make them. I was writing grade reporting programs, testing programs and stuff like that, right? So in order to get anything done, we had to work 16 hours a day because he was making us do stupid things. So I was just saying, Bill, we got to get out of here. But he didn't. So it's a long story, but we ended up in Alabama. Right? We ended up in Alabama because Bill and I went to a school in Atlanta, and he wanted to go to a mountain. It was a mountain in Alabama. We went over there. It's a beautiful place. So beautiful that when I got home, I wanted to take Pat back up to that mountain. So we did. And then we looked at this beautiful valley of Anniston, Alabama, and said, well, let's go down there and look at that. We did. And so we start looking around. We went to a real estate office and wanted to know what the price of these places were. So she just, you know, how they do. They want to know who you are, where you've been, what you're doing, and how much money you got. And so I told him I was a programmer with the school board. Oh, you with the new Anniston City School Board? I said, no. She said, yeah. Oh, that's got a big thing going on over there. So she told me where it was. We went over there. And before I could get out of that place, they asked me for a job. They couldn't believe, because this was the first city school system in the state of Alabama that had a computer. Okay? So Bill Tindall and I were the first programmers in the Orange County school system, period. Okay? So, I mean, we're right on the edge of stuff. You know? So these guys thought that God had sent me, you know. But anyway, we didn't do it. But then ended up we did. Pat and I left because I was so upset with Orange County School Board. We left. We went up to Anniston, Alabama. We laid in the bed and cried the first morning because we left everything. It's just me and Pat and a suitcase and no place to live, you know. And we weren't saved, you know. But anyway, the neat thing about that is that eventually Pat got a job in the school board there, the Anniston City School Board, as a secretary, yeah. And she met this lady named Rosemary Welch, who was working in the finances, and they became the best friends, okay? It just so happened that they were good Baptists, you know? We were good Catholics, not so good Catholics. But anyway, we became best friends with them. Well, we were not happy in Alabama, you know. I think we made 12 trips home. We only were there a year and a half, you know. So anyway, Pat got pregnant, and she was having a hard time getting pregnant. But it turned out that she would go to her gynecologist whenever we'd go home. He says, you're pregnant. You go lay down. So I laid her down. I drove back to Alabama. I quit us both. And I called one of the guys that I used to work with, and Martin spawned half the data processing managers in Orange County. And, so I knew the manager of Tupperware. So I called him. He said, yeah, I'll hire you. I'll even get all your stuff and bring it down. So I went to work for Tupperware. That only lasted 6 months, and I was working for Bill, right? Back in Volusia County, because he left and he's in Volusia County. So that's how we ended up in DeLand, right? And, just all of that stuff, right? Huh? Yeah, we were in DeLand 6 years. I'm not looking. Anyway, the reason why God brought us to Alabama, not even saved, is because Rosemary and Kenneth needed to find out about New Tribes. And he ended up being the chairman of the Field of Liberia for New Tribes, right? But just in that, just as God moved us, you know, how he does that, I know we have a free will, and he never would go past my will, but he would set up circumstances and do things. Just as you go back and you look in your life, even before you were saved, especially after you're saved, then you can really see God doing things in your life. But he's always been doing things in our lives, you know. And so that's been some really neat things. As I was trying to come up to where I met John. I met John in DeLand. He was only in DeLand 2 years, John White. And then they went back to Atlanta. But that meeting of him put them in our lives for 46 years. You know, when we went to Bible school in Jackson, Michigan, we got a little church up there called Christian Fellowship Center. They've been supporting us to this day, right? I mean, it's just God is always working in our lives. We make our plans, but he guides our steps, right? And you know he does, because I had no plans to stay at headquarters. I did not want to do that. You know, and then, and even when I finally did the program, and it took me 8 years to get it to where somebody could just use it, and I went to Mexico, and they let me go. God was so gracious to let me go to Mexico. He knew he didn't want me in Mexico. He wanted me back at headquarters, right? So he showed me that you can't learn any language, dummy. You're not going to be a missionary in New Tribes Mission, right? So, okay, I'll go back to headquarters. But I had to get that experience. I had to see that I couldn't do that, right? But at any rate, those verses there. And then my life's verse is, as I was thinking about this Proverbs 16, my life's verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What does that say?
The Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding, in all your ways, acknowledge.
And?
He'll direct your path.
He'll direct your path, right? Okay. So there, that was the verse we started out with, you know. And if there was time, I could tell you all the miracles he did just to get us out of the land. But another verse, too, that was my life's verse was Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or what shall you wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. So anyway, thank you for listening to my testimony a little bit. I hope it didn't bore you, but thank God he's always working in our lives, always been working in our lives. As long as we are open to him, that we have faith in him. I was even thinking, could it be that Abraham just was like I am? He knew who God was. He believed in God, and God said move, and he moved. But way over in 15, it says he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So maybe God directed him just like he directed me and a lot of Christians or non-Christians before they're ever saved, you know, but they did have faith. I mean, you're not going to do it without faith in God and being willing to do what he's pushing you to do, you know? And so anyway, just some thoughts.